So how do I know what God wants me to do? I mean, how do you hear the voice of God? Does God even speak to us, direct us? And if he does, how can we be sure it's coming from God? How do we know what God wants us to do? Well, of course, we look to the Bible. And over the next several weeks, we're in the book of 1 Samuel, which is a book there in Jewish history, what we call the Old Testament. We're in the book of 1 Samuel. And one of the things that we're going to learn is that God does speak. God does direct his people. When you go to the book of 1 Samuel, you're reading a story, a history, if you will, that took place over about 100 years, about 1,000 years before the time of Christ. There are three great figures in this book: Samuel, Saul, and David. And over the coming weeks and into the summer, we're going to look at each one of them. But what we're going to learn today is that when you go to chapter 3, it was a period of time where it was spiritually dry and barren. In fact, the Bible specifically says that the word from the Lord was rare. Now, that's a fancy way of saying they didn't know what to do. They weren't hearing from God, and they weren't even sure that God would speak to them, and he hadn't spoken in a long time. But into just that situation, God came, God spoke, and God moved. And it could be that you're here today. It could be that you're listening to me today. And you maybe feel dry and barren spiritually. Maybe it's been a long time since God really moved in your life or spoke into your heart, or maybe that has never happened. Well, today I want to show you how you can hear the word of God, how you can listen to God. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll know that Samuel is a boy. And he's growing up in the house of the high priest. That is the complex of the high priest whose name is Eli. We learned last week that his mother brought him there when he was still a child to be raised so that he could become a spiritual leader in Israel. Well, this story takes place in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I want us to read the first 11 verses of this great chapter. And if you're at one of our campuses, I want to invite you to stand with us. We stand as a way of honoring the authority of God's word. If you're able to do that and want to do that, we invite you to, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I begin reading in the very first verse. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his usual place. Before the lamp of God had gone out, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered him, "Here am I." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I didn't call," Eli replied. "Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I didn't call you, my son," he replied. "Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. He told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came, stood there, and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel responded, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do something in Israel that will cause everyone who hears about it to shudder." Father, I pray that you would show us today how to hear your voice. Lord, how to listen to you. And I pray today for those that you want to speak to their hearts, for those that you want to call to yourself, I pray they would hear not my voice, but yours. They would sense the power of the Holy Spirit, and they would respond as Samuel responded. And that you would do something today which would fill us with great joy is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So this is one of the great accounts in the Bible that we love to tell. Samuel's a boy. He's growing up. We're not sure exactly how old he is, but certainly he's an older child at this point. And as he is living there in Eli's complex, the complex where the tabernacle is kept, Eli again is the high priest. As he's living there, being raised there, he goes to sleep one night. Apparently, it's not late at night. All the lamps had not yet gone out. Eli's getting old. He's hard of hearing. And Samuel lies down to go to sleep. And he heard a voice. Now, the implication is it was an audible voice. He heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel. Well, he hops up, wakes up if he'd gone to sleep, and runs down the hall to Eli's room, and he says, "What'd you want?" And Eli says, "Son, I wasn't calling you. You had a bad dream. Go back to bed." And he lies down to go to sleep, and he hears the voice again. A second time, he runs down to Eli. Eli says, "Look, you had too much pizza last night. Something's going on. Hey, just don't worry about it. I didn't call you. You're hearing things." Third time, he lies down, and he runs to Eli again. He hears that voice. He hears a voice calling him, "Samuel, Samuel." At this point, Eli, the high priest, discerns that God must be speaking to Samuel. God's trying to get his attention. And Eli says, "Samuel, I think God may be trying to talk to you." He's still a boy. "I think God may be trying to talk to you. Next time you hear that voice, here's what you're to do. Say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant's listening.'" And that's what happens. I've often imagined that scene in my mind. Can you imagine going back and lying down after it's happened three times? You've just been told maybe God is speaking to you. Can you imagine that? I bet he lay there just wide-eyed, don't you? And then he hears a voice, unmistakable, clear. "Samuel, Samuel." And he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And God gave a message to Samuel that he would give to Eli that would be about what God is going to do. And we'll look at the message in a moment. But I want to think for a moment about what it means to hear the voice of God. Is it possible to hear the voice of God? Is it possible that God speaks to us? It's a big deal to say God speaks to us, but it's also a little confusing. Does God speak to us the same way today that he spoke to Samuel? Do people hear God's voice? Is it audible like that, like I'm speaking to you? And if you don't hear a voice like that, does that mean something is wrong with you? And what about the people who claim that God is speaking to them, but they do weird stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Like the people say, "God spoke to me," and you go, "Really? God, of all the people, God spoke to them?" Or they say God told them to do something, but what they told them to do really is weird and it doesn't make much sense. And it sounds like they're just justifying what they wanted to do anyway. Those are great questions. There are times in the Bible when we are specifically told that God speaks. Some of those times it appears that God speaks audibly. It certainly appears to be that way in this story, doesn't it? We're told that God spoke to Moses like that. We're told that God spoke to Joshua like that. And yet really that seems to be the exception, not the rule, that God speaks audibly. They heard a physical voice, but does everyone hear voices? Adrian Rogers was a famous Baptist preacher, and one time he was sharing, he felt like God had told him to do something, and a skeptical reporter asked, "You mean like you heard a voice?" He said, "No, it was louder than that." See, as followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of us, the Bible teaches. Now, if God is living on the inside of you, why does God need to get on the outside of you to speak to you? It seemed like God would speak from the inside, because that's where he is. And the truth of the matter is, when most people talk about hearing the voice of God or feeling led by God or directed by God, that's what they're talking about, a voice on the inside, not the outside. But it still begs the question, does God speak to his people? When you look at the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit shows up 59 times in the book of Acts, and more than half of those, he is speaking. In fact, 36 different times in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is said to speak. Now, we don't know what that always was. We don't know if that's an audible voice or something else. A couple of these are. In Acts 16, the Spirit of God guided Paul through a dream in which a man Paul had never met invited him into a country he never visited. In his book, Jesus Continued, J.D. Greer tells about some of these. He says, Paul concludes, this is the voice of God. A few verses earlier, the Spirit of Jesus forbade Paul and Silas from preaching the gospel in a certain place. Holy Spirit told him, don't go there. But Luke doesn't describe how the Holy Spirit forbade them. In Acts 19, 21, it says Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Jerusalem and proceed on to Rome. But what exactly does that mean for Paul to resolve something in the Spirit? The Bible simply doesn't tell us. In Acts 10, the Holy Spirit tells Peter not to fear the Roman soldiers who have come to question him about the gospel and go wherever they take him. But how did the Holy Spirit make that clear? Was it a strange, peaceful confidence? Did thoughts appear in his head? Did syllables come into his ear? The Bible doesn't tell us. In Acts 15, the church leaders validate the instructions they're giving to new believers with the words, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." But what does that mean? I'm not sure, but it doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit wrote something out on the walls or spoke to them through a vision. It just seemed good to them and the Holy Spirit. Did God give them unusual insight or conviction that they had heard from God, or did they conclude that this decision, which they prayed about and searched the scriptures, was in line with the Spirit since he had not guided them otherwise? The text simply doesn't say. Paul makes a similar statement in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. But again, what does that mean when it says his conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit? In Acts 8, Luke records that the Spirit told Philip to go stand near a stranger in a chariot. But how exactly did the Holy Spirit tell him? Is this what I sometimes feel, or you feel when sometimes you just sense that God wants you to go and speak to somebody? In Acts 21, a disciple named Agabus warned Paul through the Spirit that certain people would deliver him into the hands of the Romans. It turned out exactly the way Agabus said. But in what way did the Holy Spirit tell Agabus to share that message? In Acts 5, the Spirit gave Peter insight that Ananias and Sapphira were lying to God about their offering. But again, is it an audible voice? Is it an internal voice? The Bible doesn't specifically say. So here's what I want you to see. Clearly in the Bible, it is normative to think about God through the Holy Spirit guiding and directing his people. Jesus even promised in John 16 that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. But again, how does that exactly look? Is it an audible voice or is it something else? Most of the time, I just want you to know, when people say that God spoke to them, they're usually trying to say they felt prompted on the inside by the Spirit of God. Most of the time, they don't claim to hear an audible voice. They aren't trying to equate the voice of God with scripture or anything like that. And yes, it's true, some people abuse that. It is true that there are some people who are a little imbalanced or people who are outright manipulative who will claim that God told them to do something and God said, you know, or have you ever had this occasion where somebody comes to you for advice like, what should I do this? Should I do this? And you go, you know, well, God told me to do that. And you're like, well, what can I say to that? Like, you know, it's, and sometimes what I want to say when somebody tells me God told them to do something, I want to say, look, I trust God. I'm not sure I trust you as much. Just because you say that doesn't mean I have to fold and, you know, because just, I've learned a long time ago, everybody that says God spoke, that doesn't mean God spoke. Like, I was a pastor. I think I learned this in my first church. I was a pastor and still, I started pastoring when I was 20. So I'm pastoring this church, little church, and there was a guy who would come by every few months, and every time he came, he was invited to sing. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know the guy, just pastor there. Well, he'd come by, he expected to sing every service when he showed up. Well, we were having a revival. We had people singing. We had had special music. I didn't invite him to sing. I didn't even know he was going to be there that night. We had a service. It went kind of long. It was time to end it up. And this guy comes walking down the altar. I mean, he came walking down the aisle. We had, you know, did that every Sunday. He came walking out, said, and I thought, well, he's getting saved or something, which I kind of thought probably needed to happen. But he comes down and, like, he said, God told me to sing. God told me to sing this song. And he had a, back in the days, you brought a cassette tape. You know, you played the tape. It was the music. And said, God told me to sing. I was like, well, it seems late. I mean, everybody's ready to go home. But God told him, like, what am I going to do? I was like, okay, God told him. So I let him sing. And it was horrible. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, it sounded like a dying cow in a hailstorm. I mean, it was, It's terrible. It's a terrible song. He didn't sing it that well. And afterwards, I was kind of ticked off at God. Like, God and I had our own kind of conversation. Like, I walked out and I said, how could you do that? Are you kidding me? And I felt like the Lord was saying, I didn't have anything to do with it. Like, if you're stupid enough to put him up there, you're going to have to sit there and listen to it. And I learned early on, like God said, I called you to be the shepherd of the church. And I wanted them to hear something, I ought to let you know about it. I've had people come up to me. Believe me, it happens more than you think. Hey, God's told me to say something to the church. I say, that's great. As soon as God tells me, I'll let you do it. Well, God told me this morning. I said, that's fantastic. I talked to God this morning, and he did not let me know that. So as soon as he lets me know that, I will be glad to do that. So just because somebody tells me they heard from God, that doesn't impress me much. But at the same time, the Bible makes it clear that God speaks, God guides, God directs. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at this passage, it's interesting that God was speaking to Samuel. And I understand there's some differences, but I believe there's something we can learn in Samuel's response that can help us learn to listen to the voice of God. Yes, God was speaking to Samuel. And yes, God wants to dwell intimately with us and speak to us. So what do we learn from Samuel that can help us listen to the voice of God? I'll give you three things. Here they are. Number one, because when he went to Eli, said, Eli, I hear this voice. And Eli, maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God's speaking to you. And the Bible tells us it was rare in those days. Like, this didn't happen all the time. So Eli says, well, when you hear this, say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Number one, ask God to speak. His first thing was, speak, Lord. Invite God to speak. Ask God to speak. That's what Samuel did. He said, speak, Lord. He was inviting God. He was seeking the voice of God. He wanted God to speak to him. He wanted to know what God wanted him to do. My question this morning is, are you willing to seek God? To know God? Are you willing to say this morning, speak, Lord? Are you willing to say it? Are you willing to ask the God of heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit, are you willing to say, God, speak to me. Tell me what you want me to do. The first thing you need to know is that God does want to be in your life. Now, here's the interesting thing. Samuel did not yet know the word of the Lord. Do you see that in verse 7? Samuel was a boy. He was growing up, and he knew all about God, but he hadn't yet met God. Like, he was growing up in the tabernacle, so he was learning, how do you care for the Ark of the Covenant? How do you do all the work of the priest? He was doing all that. He was a helper. He was learning everything about God. He knew about God, but he had not met God personally. Like, God had not spoken into his heart through the Holy Spirit. That hadn't happened to him yet. And it reminds me that there are people who come to church every weekend who know about God, but they've never met God. Maybe you're like some of these precious children who today have come and gotten baptized at our Clearwater campus. We saw many children baptized in this service. And maybe, you know, you might be a young boy, young girl, teenager here, and you know all about God. Like, you've been going to church, you've heard the stories, you know about God, but there's never been a moment in your life where you've met God. Are you going to be an adult? You can be in church for a long time, and you know all about God. Like, you're pretty even comfortable talking about the things of God. But there really hasn't been a time when God actually spoke into your heart and actually moved in your life. Samuel had not yet heard. So the very first thing a person has to do is they have to open up their heart. They have to put their trust in Christ, and they have to ask Christ to come into your heart. Listen, at some point, this has got to be more than what your parents said, and it's got to be more than what your pastor said, and more than what your church said. At some point, if you're going to have a relationship with God, you have to have a relationship with God. So let me just ask you again, how long has it been since God spoke into your heart, or has it ever happened? It hadn't yet happened for Samuel, so Eli gave him directions, and his first direction was, ask God to speak. Just say, speak, Lord. Tell him you're ready to hear. Now, let me show you how this sometimes looks. Because in Acts chapter 2, there's this great account in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, it's a couple days after Jesus had risen from the dead, ascended to heaven, and Peter preached the message of Jesus to a great crowd of people. They're listening to the gospel. They came, you know, Easter Sunday, they came, Jesus is alive, they've heard it. When they hear it, look at what the Bible says. We read this passage often. When they heard this, they were pierced to their heart. Now, what does that mean, pierced to the heart? It means it was more than just facts. It was more than just a story. When they heard this message of Jesus dying, buried, and being raised again, and that if they trusted in Jesus, they could be forgiven, something about that hit them on the inside. As they were sitting there listening to Peter preach, it pierced them in their hearts. They felt it like a stabbing pain on the inside. And so they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what do you want us to do? Just like Samuel, what should we do? Like something's piercing us, what should we do? Peter said, repent. That means to change your mind and your life. That means to turn around. It means to turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus. Repent and get baptized. Baptism is the public way of letting someone know what's happened inside you. So Peter said, when you get pierced to the heart, here's what you need to do. You need to repent, admit you're a sinner, put your trust in Jesus, get baptized, each of you. And this is in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will be real to you. For this promise, now watch this, is for you and for your children. This isn't just for you. This is for your children, like one day if they do it, whether it's today or one day. And it's for all who are far off, like people you haven't even met yet, people who haven't been born yet. This is going to be true for all of them. If they will repent, believe in Jesus, and get baptized, they'll receive the Holy Spirit. As many, watch this, as the Lord our God will call. As many as the Lord our God will call. You know what that means? God calls people. You can say about that whatever you want to say. You can use whatever verb you want to use. God calls people. Sometimes they hear the message of Jesus and they're sitting in a church and it's like something is piercing them in their heart. And they don't know what to do because God's calling them. And Peter says, here's what you do. Admit you're a sinner, trust in Jesus, and get baptized. As Christians, that's how God speaks to us. Henry Blackaby once said, God speaks to Christians in many ways. God speaks through his word. I'll just tick these off. You can preach a whole sermon on these. God speaks to us through his word. God will never say anything to you that isn't consistent with what you find in the Bible. I had a lady one time came to me and said, God was telling her to divorce her husband and go have she was going to be some big superstar. And I knew she wasn't hearing from the voice of God because God was telling her to do something that was different from what the Bible would say. God speaks to the Holy Spirit. I think every time God speaks is through the Holy Spirit, but there are sometimes you just feel a prompting and an impression. God speaks through other people. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need to be under the teaching of the Bible, because God will use other people. And God sometimes speaks through unique circumstances. However God speaks, God will speak in a way consistent with the Bible. But here's what we know. God does direct our paths. And that's why when God speaks to us, he pierces our heart, we sense that the Holy Spirit's trying to say something, our response should be, speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. So I'm wondering, just a serious question, how many of you would sit here today and go, speak, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do. Second thing, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Be ready to listen. Be ready to listen. You have to be ready to listen. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel's yes was already on the table. He had already identified himself as God's servant. That means I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Your servant is listening. My yes is on the table. God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. God isn't going to speak just so you can think about it. God speaks to those who are ready to listen. And you have to cultivate spiritual ears. If you want to hear God, be ready to do what God says. But if you're hard-hearted and distracted, you may miss what God is saying. Elijah was a prophet of God, and he was in a desperate situation in a cave. He wanted to hear from God. The Bible says God sent an earthquake, but the voice of God wasn't in the earthquake. And then God sent a fire, and the voice of God wasn't in the fire. And God sent a wind, and the voice of God wasn't in the wind. All the ways you think you'd hear from God, God wasn't in any of those. And then the Bible says God spoke in a still, small voice. What do you think God speaks in a still, small voice sometimes? Because you have to get quiet enough to hear. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we just get hard-hearted, and we don't hear the voice of God. I was pastoring my first church in Route 4, Door, Alabama. I told you I was 20 when I went there, and I don't know, how do you pastor? And so I asked Pastor Anderson, who was the pastor here, I said, well, what should I do? He told me, first, you got to win the hearts of the people. You got to love people. People follow people that love them, so you show them you love them. I said, well, how can I do that? He said, well, one of the things I'd do in a country church is I'd get the names of some of the shut-ins, people who can't go, that have been part of that church, but they can't come anymore, little community, country community. There'd just be six or eight of them. And in that little community, you go visit them. In the first couple of weeks, you set time, you go by, introduce yourself, pray with them. It'll get out the whole community. You'll know the heartbeat of the community, and that's you, people will see your heart. I said, okay, that's a good idea. So I went to see a lady named Miss Frederick. And I still remember going to see Miss Frederick. She is 93 years old. I went to her little house, like one of these little two-bedroom houses, like a little shack, and I went and sat there in this Frederick, and she was a big woman. I mean, she was tall and large. She had one of those chairs. I'd never seen one before at that time. This would have been early 80s. She pressed a button, and she would be sitting there, and it would lift her up. You know, she'd hit the button, and it lifted her up. She said, let me show you, Pastor. He hit the button. I thought she was going to fall on me and kill us both. I mean, I was scared to death. She dipped snuff. I'll never forget Miss Frederick. She's dipping snuff. So she's sitting there, we're talking, and I'm just talking, I'm the pastor here to pray for you. And I mean, while I'm talking, all of a sudden I hear this noise coming down. And it gets louder and louder and louder and louder. And I mean, it's a train. And I thought, my goodness. And the train roared until the house began to shake. And and she's talking, and I'm just like, what in the world? And the train went right by. And as soon as she took a breath, I interrupted. I said, Miss Frederick, what in the world was that noise? She said, well, that must have been the train. I said, well, does it go through your living room? I mean, where in the world? She said, no, it's about 20 feet from my back door. I said, I got to see this. I got up, walked to the back of her kitchen, looked out this little window. And, I mean, 20 feet from the back door, maybe, was the train track. And I went by. I said, Miss Frederick, I said, how many times did it come through? She said, three or four times a day. I thought, well, why did you build your house next to the train track? She said, I was here first, preacher. This house been here a long time. It was here first, and they built the train right through there. And I thought, my goodness, does it come through? She said, every day, three or four times. At night, two or three times a night. I said, how in the world do you sleep? She said, well, funny you should ask. She said, when they first built that train track, the train rolled through one night. I mean, the house began to shake. We fell out of bed. Stuff falls off the walls. I thought, I'll never sing it. I'll never sleep in this house again. I will never get a good night's sleep the rest of my life. She said, we just went back to bed. What can we do? Went back to bed the next night. Same deal. Went back to bed the next night. Same deal. Said, I thought, we'll never sleep in this house again. She said, but then you know a funny thing happened, Pastor. She said, after a while, I got to where I could go to bed and sleep all night long. And she said, that's been more than 50 years. And to this day, I never hear the train. And then she looked at me and said something that I knew I'd never forget. She said, I reckon if you just don't listen to something, after a while, you won't hear it anymore. Can I tell you what happens with the voice of God? If you quit listening, after a while you won't hear it anymore. Your heart gets hard. Your heart gets calloused. And there's some of you who've been in church for a long time. You quit listening. And you haven't heard God speak in a long time. When you were young, you used to be at the prayer altar all the time. I mean, something happened in your life, you'd be down there squalling, getting right with God. God spoke to you, you'd turn and do it. But our heart gets hard. We get calluses. Before long, we don't hear the God. When the Bible says Eli was, he couldn't hear, it's not just talking about his physical hearing, it's a picture of his spiritual hearing as well. Remember, the reason God spoke to Samuel was, and you don't know this yet, but Samuel, what you know what God told Samuel? The message of Samuel was for Eli. If you read the whole chapter, the message that God gave to Samuel wasn't for Samuel, it was for Eli. It was a tough message. He had to go tell Eli that God was going to judge his house, that God was going to take the priesthood away from him and his two wicked sons. Now, why don't you think God gave the message to Eli? Because Eli wasn't listening anymore. God had to speak to a little boy whose heart was still tender toward God, because Eli had shut down and he wasn't listening. You got to be able to say, God, your servant's listening. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'll do. You got to ask God to speak. You got to be ready to listen. And number three, you got to be ready to obey. Be ready to do whatever God tells you to do. Act on what God says. Do it immediately. When God spoke to Samuel, he had a message for Eli. Samuel went and told Eli the next morning everything God had told him, and he was reluctant to do it because it was difficult. And Eli even said, I need you to tell me everything God shared. And Samuel shared that message. He told him what God told him to say. God will speak when you're ready to obey. Put your yes on the table. Ask God to speak to your heart. Tell God that you're willing to listen, and tell God that you're willing to obey, and God will speak. You remember the story of Acts chapter 2 that I told you about? People were cut to their heart, pierced to their heart. God was calling them. They said, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Peter said, here's what you need to do. You need to repent and be baptized. And you know what the Bible says in Acts 2:41? It says, those who accepted the message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. 3,000 people got baptized in one day. Now, this afternoon, just a few hours, we're going to go to a Sand Key Park out near Clearwater Beach. And we're going to have dozens and dozens of people getting baptized. Scores, maybe more today than ever before in a single day in Calvary's history. Could be that kind of a day. That day, Peter preached and 3,000 were baptized. I'd love to be a part of that kind of day. That day they were baptized. And let me show you, that's the pattern over and over again in the book of Acts. Why, look at this next verse in the book of Acts 8:12. Philip goes to preach to a bunch of Samaritans. And it says, when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. That's the way it is all the way through the book of Acts. I love this next story in Acts chapter 9. You see this all the way. Philip proceeded, this is another story, to tell him, this is an Ethiopian man, it's an African man, an African government official. Philip told him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture he was reading in the Bible. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What would keep me from being baptized? Like, can I do it right now? Like, right now? And look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, you can if you believe with your heart. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he ordered the chariot to stop. Like, right then. Like, they didn't have time for a class. He didn't say, go back home. They stopped the chariot, and Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. It happened right there. Look at this next story in the book of Acts. It's Acts 16. This is about Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer. It's a jailer. The jailer escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, it's the middle of the night, by the way. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in the house. And then look at what happened. He took them the same hour of the, it's the middle of the night. Wasn't even breakfast yet, and washed their wounds right away. See those words? Right away. He and his family were baptized. They got baptized right then. Look at this next verse in Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Many of the Corinthians, when they heard, believed, and were baptized. When did they believe and get baptized? When they heard. And then let me show you one final one in Acts 22:16. This is about Paul after he got saved. And somebody comes to share with him and he says, "Why are you delaying? Why are you delaying? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Like, I've told you about what God wants you to do. Why are you waiting? Like, if God is speaking, you got to do it. Like, do it now. And what Samuel had to do that day was hard. It was hard to tell Eli what God wanted Eli to know. That wasn't the easiest thing to do, but Samuel did it. I'm just wondering if God's speaking to anybody here today. I'm just wondering if there's anybody who's been pierced in their heart. I'm wondering if there's anybody who senses a call of God today. I remember what that was like when I was a 9-year-old boy. I'd had people explaining to me about God, explaining to me about God. I went to children's church, Sunday school. I knew about it. And it was one, if you had asked me, do you believe all that? I would have said, I believe every bit of it. But I do remember what it was like on a Saturday night in a revival service in Tampa, Florida, at my grandparents' church, when all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit call me. I felt it. Was it a voice? I didn't hear it. It's louder than that. It was on the inside. I was pierced to the heart. And I said, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. And I remember that night giving my heart to Christ. Some of you have been in church. You've been in church. You've heard all about God. Doesn't impress me much. I'm glad. Doesn't impress me a whole lot. Here's what I want to know. Have you heard from God? Has God ever spoken into your heart? You ever felt the Holy Spirit call you? You ever been pierced to the heart and said, I need to give my heart to Jesus? Have you ever met him? Tonight, it's going to be a great night. It really is. We had no idea. But, I mean, it's going to be a huge night. We have lots of people getting baptized. Maybe the most ever in one day in our history. It's very possible. It's going to be incredible. And I'm really excited. I'm just wondering if you need to be there. I'm just wondering if you're here and the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. And I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit of God is saying, you need to give your heart to Jesus. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Would you say that to God this morning? You have the courage to say that to God? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Ask God to speak, be ready to listen, and do whatever he tells you to do. I want you to pray right now. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Every one of our campuses. Those of you at Eastlake, Seminole, online. I want you to say this right now. If you want to say it audibly, you can, but I want to challenge you at least to say it in your heart. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You say that? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I wonder if you're here listening to my voice, if you've ever given your heart to Jesus and been baptized. If you've never given your heart to Christ, I want to invite you to do it right now, to put your faith and trust in Jesus. The Bible says Samuel had not yet heard the word of the Lord. He's a good boy. Growing up, knew all about it. He hadn't yet met Jesus. He hadn't met God. That day, he did. If you're here, you feel God speaking into your heart, pierced to the heart, your prayer might sound something like this. God, I do trust you. I admit my sin, and I want you to come into my life. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, and that he is the Lord of all. Today, I want to put my trust in you. If you're here and you've never believed, I want to encourage you to believe today and then be baptized. Maybe you've believed before today, but you haven't really been baptized and the voice of the Lord is speaking to you. It's time to be baptized. So in just a moment, right now, Pastor Tom is coming at Seminole. He's coming to the stage right now. At our Eastlake campus, Pastor Ron is there. He's coming right now to the platform. They're coming. They're going to tell you in a moment exactly what to do, because you can respond right there at Seminole, right there at Eastlake. Here at Clearwater, I'm going to tell you in a moment exactly what to do. But if you're willing to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." If God speaks to your heart, I want to challenge you. Do whatever he tells you to do. Do whatever he tells you to do. Father, I thank you that you care about us. I thank you that you speak into our life. And I pray you would find some today who would say, as Samuel said long ago, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Pray this in Jesus' name.